So are you telling me that when people go on the websites and say you're on like Delta's website and it's like two more seats left at this price, you think that's real or is that just a tactic to get you to buy now?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
Visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure. Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am very excited to be here. I don't know about Carson. Carson doesn't seem as excited as me. I'm like a level like 15 out of 10, ready to go. I'm excited about...
It's because we're finally home.
About the week.
It's because you're finally in California.
I know.
It's not even your home anymore, but you're finally here. I know, the weather's amazing. I was going to call someone from Houston. He was like, it's raining here. I was like, oh, well, it's a nice crisp 70. We have a beautiful view, clear skies.
Blue skies, cloud at 38,000 feet. It's pretty nice right now.
I love it.
So... today, Carson, guess what we're doing? We are diving into the fascinating topic that often flies under the radar when we think about the airline industry, like what I did.
That was fantastic.
So how exactly do airlines make money? Well, I don't even know this, so this is going to be an interesting topic. I'm just going to opine. That's my newest word that I like to use lately. Whatever Carson says today.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Do you like that word?
I do like that one.
Great word. It's only five letters.
It means like piggybacking or?
It means to add upon.
Oh, add upon. How do you say it again?
Opine.
Opine?
Opine.
Nice.
Here, I'll pull it up for you, Carson.
Thank you.
Just so you can see it.
Oh, it's like opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. State one's opinion. I'm just going to opine on it.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. You might think it's all about ticket sales. And for the most part, it kind of is. But there's a lot more behind the scenes that contributes to their bottom line.
Well, it's actually something I had a lot of questions about. I've always been thinking, airline tickets are pretty expensive, but they're relatively cheap for how much I know avgas costs, how much they burn, landing fees. There's all sorts of things that airlines have to pay for. And I was thinking about this on the first flight I took. I think it was to Florida with Amanda. And they said, hey, we don't have enough space for you to actually be on the flight. I was in one of the waiting groups to get assigned a seat. I was on standby and they offered me like $600 to take the next flight. I was like, hell yeah, I'll take $600. I was wondering, how do they have enough money to give me $600 and pay for all these things? And they get it, it's like 10 different passengers.
Well, there's also fees that they have to pay to the government if they screw up on something. And if they don't offer you this and you don't accept, they can get fined.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, how do they have that money to still make this a profitable flight? And then how much airline pilots are making now and crew? I was like, how are they affording to do all this, have all this training, the training costs associated with being a new pilot? I was like, there's so much. Where they actually get this money from?
I mean, people don't like the word, but it trickles down to the end consumer.
Yeah.
It really does. You have to pay for it. Us. So where's that money going to come from?
Exactly.
Us.
Exactly. So I wanted to know how they made that money going all the way up to the food chain, to the people that don't actually make the money, just cost them money, like dispatchers, or anyone that works in like a corporate office or call centers. Like those people aren't making money, like the planes and pilots.
Airlines are making boatloads of money, Carson.
Exactly. I want to know where it came from and why.
Ah, I'm glad we're getting into this.
Exactly, we are. So from the strategic partnerships and alliances to the fees for baggage and seat selection and in-flight ads that you may not actually be paying attention to, airlines have pretty much mastered the art of diversifying the revenue streams. And some of these are pretty real game changers, especially with new technology that's coming up.
Tell me we're going to talk about SkyMall today.
Ooh, I don't know. Mark, did you put SkyMall in there? No.
No.
Oh, well, you can feel free to opine all you want about SkyMall.
Because I don't think Carson ever went on a flight while SkyMall was a thing.
No, I've heard about it and I feel a little bit jealous because I do like that impulse shopping.
Impulse shopping from a magazine and you fill it out and you put in your credit card info and you hand it to a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of that?
Never. We never did it.
Never? You knew about it?
I remember seeing all the magazines.
So there's a magazine full of just
like
stuff
you could buy. Yeah.
Yeah,
now they start having it like Delta. You can buy like fly Delta jets and stuff. And like certain planes will have like a magazine in the back where you can like fill it out. But they really have you like click a QR code and go online and buy it.
Got it. So is it like from their website or just
through a thing? Yeah, through like a third party or maybe it's their website. I don't know. I've seen it, but I haven't done it. So
got it. Because I know a lot of airlines have merch, which that's another way they make money.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of money on Emirates merch. I like Emirates stuff.
Well, Carson, let's get into the nitty-gritty of what keeps the big names in the sky profitable. Not ones like Spirit, because we know how they're doing right now. I don't know. They might be filing bankruptcy by the time this comes out.
They're not doing well?
No.
Spirit?
Spirit.
That's like one of the best airlines. You tell me Spirit's not doing well?
No.
Oh.
I wonder why.
Funny. Yeah, I don't know. Frontier's the one I don't like. They're like Spirit, but worse.
I don't know. I've been on Frontier, and they're pleasant.
They were pleasant, but anyway.
By the way, for pilots, both of those airlines are world class.
Oh, yeah.
For pilots.
For pilots.
Just not for passengers.
Yeah, the people that pay a lot to sit in the two front seats, those those guys make plenty of money, and it's good.
Yeah, they're likely. Well, we're also trying to find out how those big names are constantly finding new ways to generate income. And by the way, that's how all businesses should work. You should always be figuring out new ways to generate income. I've read in some places that 60% of most companies' income actually comes from secondary products. It's not from the thing that you think it is, which is a very interesting perspective.
Hmm. Well, we're going to find out plenty of their secondary and tertiary. And
we will.
I don't know what comes after tertiary. That was a big word.
Yeah, you got that from here. Yeah, exactly. So whether it's cargo operations or selling premium services, we're going to break down what makes the industry tick, Carson, and how they make money from things you might not expect. So like tertiary items.
Exactly. All right. Tell me the first one.
All right. Ticket sales and pricing strategies. Well, this is an interesting one. I'm actually just going to read this because this is interesting. So the primary revenue source for airlines is ticket sales. Airlines employ dynamic pricing, which I hate, by the way. Trust me, hate, because I'll book something for like, by the way, this part's not on the script. I'll book something and it'll on Expedia and it'll be like, oh, your flight is $300. And then I get it into the cart and it's like, oh, your flight tripled and it's now $900. And then I go on another website and now they've seen the dynamic prices. So now I have to go to incognito mode. And then sometimes I can get the correct pricing because they log your cookies.
I'll one up you. When I was in the Philippines and we're coming back, we had a whole snafu of trying to figure out our flights. And while I was in the Philippines, I was looking at these flights and they were like $400-$500 to go to California. I was like, this is fantastic. And I got to the part where I had to put my billing zip code and it was keeping it USD the whole time. It would like quadruple. It was like $2,000-$4,000 for the same flight.
That's insane.
So just based on where you are in the world, the price can difference.
Oh, that would make sense. You should use a VPN.
Oh, I tried. It was billing zip code that got you. Yeah, I looked all into it.
Really?
Billing zip codes, how they get around the whole VPN and using incognito. So it's actually when you're going to check out, that's where they're like, oh, you're a U.S. citizen. You're not from the Philippines.
Wow.
So jacked up the prices.
Racism.
Right?
Yeah, I'm serious. Okay. So airlines employ dynamic pricing, demand, competition, and other factors, such as the one that Carson just said. For instance, during peak travel seasons, airlines may increase prices to maximize revenue. Ticket pricing per class in airlines is a strategic process designed to maximize revenue by segmenting passengers based on their willingness to pay and preferences. So here's an overview on how it works. Carson, I'll let you take this part.
All right. The first class is me, economy class. Typically, the most affordable and the most basic option. The seats are standard. It's like sitting on cardboard or just steel. I don't know. Some of these seats are terrible.
Did you fly Spirit?
I have not actually flown Spirit. Oh, one time. It was a quick hop to Vegas from California. So
you're supposed to take JSX.
I don't even know what JSX
is. By the way, I want to talk about JSX on a future episode. So, Mark, make sure you write that down. JSX is a premium, not airline. It's like a charter service. They only allow a certain number of seats, and they're getting around a lot of regulations, which the 121 carriers like Southwest are like trying to fight them on for innovation because it's disrupting their model. Ooh, I can go deep into this.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Mark wants to do a mini series on airlines and how airports and airlines work. I think we should just do it.
We should do it. Yeah. So, the next
topic,
premium economy. What Carson takes.
Yeah, so premium economy, it's actually something that I'm actually more willing to take. It's a little more space. The seat reclines just a little bit more. And there's some additional services like, I don't know. They usually got screens.
Free snacks.
Free snack. Oh, I'm a glutton for free snacks.
I love that.
Food bad. Yeah, I know. But, I haven't flown in a while. But the premium economy seats typically just a little bit better. And it's typically just an upgrade from economy. So you can pick your seats. And that's another part of how they get you. Is that seat selection. If you don't want to sit in the middle, you have to pay an extra couple bucks. And I'm always willing to pay the extra couple bucks.
What's it like to say I haven't flown in a while? Like, I don't know what that's...
I know. You've just nonstop been flying. What do you fly?
I fly what's coming up next. I fly business class. Businessman. So business class is my favorite. I've actually never flown what they consider first class. I have flown Delta One, which is considered first class when you're going to, at least when I was on that flight going to Asia. But what I imagine first class is like you get your own bed and like 32-inch TV.
Like the Emirates Suites?
Yeah, like an Emirates
Suite. Yeah, that's what I imagine first class.
I imagine that as first class. I don't imagine when I get into a plane going from here to Florida like I take so often with American.
Yeah, you sit in those front seats. They're like big cushiony ones.
Yeah, they're just big cushiony ones that are from like, I don't know, 1997. That's how they look.
That was really expensive.
Honestly, probably.
I wasn't alive for that.
You weren't alive for that.
No, but those
look old seats
are Carson. Exactly. Those seats are pretty nice. I've taken one. I flew to Florida. It was total standard economy, one of the worst flights of my life. And I was like, I'm not doing that on the way back. So I upgraded to the business class. That was the first time I actually got like the full leg room. Mm-hmm. You could extend and put your feet in like the little cubbies. Yeah, that was the first time. And I was like, okay, I'm not flying anything until I can afford to fly this every time.
So you know what I'm doing when I'm going to Florida on Sunday?
What are you doing?
I got JetBlue.
Yeah, JetBlue.
JetBlue. And you know what JetBlue has on a lot of their flights now, especially that go across the entire U.S., which LAX to Fort Lauderdale. This one is lay flat seats. It's called Mint. And I will argue that JetBlue has one of the best business / first class probably in the U.S. right now. Hands down, JetBlue. If I have the opportunity, I fly it.
Yeah, I've never flown JetBlue.
Oh, it'll change your life.
I've stuck to United and Delta. Those are my two.
I fly United and Delta all the time. I really like Delta. I really like United. American is kind of on my low list right at the moment just because all their airplanes are super old.
They are.
Their service has gotten a lot better in the past 2 years, so I'll give them that. But JetBlue's airplanes have been refurbished with this Mint stuff. Lay flat seats in the front of the plane. It's so nice. Like I don't really like taking red eyes anymore, but I'm taking a red eye. Semi-red eye on Sunday just because I can sleep on that airplane.
That's going to be really nice.
Glorious. And if I chose to eat on that airplane, which I won't because it's kind of red-eye-ish, they actually give you like a menu and they allow you to pick like 5 out of 8 dishes or 3 out of 5, whatever it is. But you get to pick these dishes. So they're like not necessarily tapas. They're like a little bigger than tapas. And it's fantastic. I mean, it's some of my favorite.
Dang. You're even raving about the airline food.
At JetBlue.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference.
Out of all the airline food, I would say JetBlue. American airline food's not terrible, except for it's terrible in the lounges. It's really bad in the lounges. I only eat their soup in the lounges. Soup's always good. It comes from a bag. They put it in there, make it warm, and it tastes okay.
United lounges are nice. I like United lounges.
Yeah. Delta Lounge at LAX. That thing is sweet.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the Delta One Lounge, but I heard that one opened like 2 days after I had Delta One last. So I haven't been in that one yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I wish JetBlue had lounges.
I always use United lounges. The one at John Wayne for United, the worst I've ever been to of anything. I actually left and went back to the normal terminal. It was that bad.
Well, you go up there for free drinks and free food.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I love lounges. I go to all of them. I have every single one of them. I can go to Delta, United, American.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. People should check their credit card benefits, see if they get you in some. Because I know Amex gets you in.
Well, Amex gets you in everywhere.
Most.
Now, if you spend $75,000 a year, they get you in plus one. But if you don't, then it only gets you in and you get to pay for your friend to go in.
Yeah, $60.
Which I'm very happy about because those Amex lounges are too packed.
Are they?
Yeah, they're too packed. They actually need to bump it up like higher. Like if you don't spend $75,000, you don't even get in. I think that would be fantastic.
Hmm. Yeah, Amex isn't that special anymore.
It's not special anymore.
Yeah, it used to be very special.
Lounges, you have to wait like 30 minutes to get in nowadays. Like it's terrible.
Yeah. So. But for the normal person, a business class experience is really nice.
Yeah,
well, right.
You get back to this.
You get to go economy all the time. It's really nice. First time I took that business was a couple months ago. I went, got on the plane. I didn't even look left because I know it's always where the cockpit is. And I went right down the aisle. And I was like row number 2 or 3. And I was looking. I was like, it starts on 7. I was like, where the hell am I going? I was like, did they like take out my row? Am I not actually in business? And I turned around and looked left to go find a flight attendant. And that's when I saw like the business was in the front.
Ah,
I was like, ah.
It's like the mullet.
Yeah, business in the front, party in the back. Exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm always used to the party in the back. I'm like row 27 usually. So I was like, oh, I'm going the wrong way. Sorry, guys. I'm so not used to this.
But I sit in the back of the bus. I pick the furthest seat in the back.
No, it's the most comfortable.
I don't know if it's most comfortable. It's just like...
It's private. Like, you get your way for everyone.
And to me.
Yeah.
Go there. The flight attendants, I always chit-chat with them a little bit. They offer free drinks and snacks. You're in the back of the bus, you get free drinks and snacks. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Either pick the very back or the very front. In between, it's not great.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
After business class is that first class like we talked about. That is as good as you're going to get. Top of the line, lay flat beds, mint, fine dining, luxury amenities. Like, that's why I really think of like the Emirates Suites. Those things cost like 30 grand. Yeah. Like, you're paying $10,000 more for first class.
You know what I love about business and first class seats?
What?
They normally come with little blankets.
Oh, I love the little blankets. And you know, I've stolen the little blankets off every flight.
I'm always freezing cold in airplanes. Since I lost weight, so I don't know.
Yeah, I still got blubber, but I'm starting to get a little chillier. I haven't put a sweater on this morning.
Wow.
For 70 degrees. Yeah, that was a lot for me. Usually in shorts and t-shirt till 50.
All right. Next thing we're going to go to, Carson, is dynamic pricing. And I'll start this one off. So they have real-time price adjustments like we were talking about earlier. The ticket prices adjust based on supply and demand. And they use algorithms to monitor bookings, competitor pricing, set rates dynamically. I can't even imagine like the data analyst that they employ to be able to pull this off. Yeah. It has to be unreal. I wonder if there are companies that just do this for the airlines, because I couldn't imagine like a small airline, like I'm going to say small, JetBlue or Frontier or Allegiant or any of the smaller airlines that...
They're only domestic.
Yeah, only domestic, like short hop stuff that just use CRJs. I can't imagine they could do that. Maybe that's why they partner with larger airlines usually.
That would make sense. They get on their software and...
Exactly.
Start using their stuff. That makes a lot of sense. So are you telling me that when people go on the websites and say you're on like Delta's website and it's like two more seats left at this price, you think that's real? Or is that just a tactic to get you to buy now?
Tactic.
So you don't think that part's real?
I mean, there might be two seats left.
Not like on the plane mech at this price. Like at this price, you have these many seats left.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, besides that, they go into fare classes. And each main cabin type, like we talked about, economy, business, whatever, is further divided into fare classes, like fully refundable, flexible, which means you can, you know, reschedule that one, or non-refundable tickets. And I think, who is it, Southwest that does that the best? Of like your just getaway, your business, like your different packages. I haven't flown them enough to know the actual breakdown.
I try not to fly them because I hate the stand in line, like yeah, cattle call. But next spring, they're changing to assigned seats. And okay. I might actually fly them. And it
that was like their whole shtick.
I know. And if they bring first class there, I'll probably fly them more often. But I don't think they're going to do that. They're not going to reconfigure there.
Yeah. I've only flown economy on their planes and it was terrible.
They only have economy. Oh, you mean like back of the, in like B or C?
I mean like get on the plane last economy.
Well, that's how you sit in the middle seat for sure.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I feel like I'm getting nickel and dimed. I'd rather just pay up front.
It's like extra stress I just don't need.
Exactly. It's already stressful going on a flight alone for most people. I mean, for me, it's like, well, I can go take a nap now. But for most people, it's stressful enough. Like, why have that added stress? I don't see the point of it.
I don't either.
But I will say the refundable, flexible, non-refundable thing, that's become more of a thing post-COVID. And I don't know if it became a law or not, but it may have. Before, if you bought a ticket and it wasn't a refundable ticket and you didn't pay like the $500 extra to make it refundable, then you actually lost your money and they didn't give you a flight credit. Nowadays, I don't know of any flights. Now, I normally order business class personally, so I don't know if it's the same for economy, but I do know for Southwest, I also ordered business there. So I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
Hear your question out. I'll answer it as an economy flyer.
They actually, no matter what I do, they always give me flight credit. Now, whether it's good for 3 months, 6 months, or a year, that's kind of debatable. But like right now, I've got probably have like $7,000 in flight credits because I always like move my flights. There's a change fee if you change the flight.
But if you move it, there's not.
But if you cancel, they'll give you credit. The credit's not good for like 7 or 10 days, which I normally don't care about. And then I can just rebook for the lower price. So that's what I always do.
Got it. Well, to me, the price difference doesn't make enough sense. Usually if I'm going for a flight, there's a specific purpose and it's just not movable. So I just get the non-refundable one. It's cheaper and I just don't pay the extra stuff.
I mean, I pick non-refundable and they still allow me to cancel the ticket and get flight credit.
Huh. Maybe that's your status. Your status could be doing that.
I do. You're right. I could. I have status on all the airlines.
Exactly. So I think people with no status, they just might not be able to do that at all.
That's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I think that SAS gets you these extra things like extra carry-on for free instead of paying, you know, 30, 50 bucks for it.
Yeah, we should look into that.
We should.
I mean, I get up to 70 pounds. You only get up to 50.
Yeah. Actually, I talked to them. It's 53.
Really?
With
them charging?
Yeah, 53.
Which so give you airline?
Oh, I talked to like multiple. I was like, because I heard it first at Air China. And I was like, this bag is pretty heavy. Like, I think I'm like 50 on the dot because I'm really good with that. It's a whole hidden talent of mine. I used to pack my dad's stuff for travel all the time. So like, I knew exactly what 50 pounds was. So I brought it to him and it was like 51. And I was like, man, I got to like repack this like right now in the middle of an airport in the Philippines. I don't want to do this. And she's like, actually, it's 53, like 53 pounds. We just don't tell people the extra 3 pounds so they don't pack it and we keep moving that line. I was like, got it. So I asked United the next time I flew them. I was like, hey, I think I'm at 50. Is that like 51? Is that okay? She's like, yeah, it's 53.
Really?
So at least two airlines, totally different ones, confirm 53.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. I was like, I can sneak an extra, you know, couple pounds in there. It's easy.
I like it.
So that was cool. Anyway, sorry for the tangent.
Well, it's okay. Long story long.
Long story long.
Can we talk about booking timeframes?
Yeah, go for it. That kind of tags on along. Dynamic pricing.
It does. So you can get prices a lot lower if you book months in advance.
That's hard to do, though. I mean, especially for stuff you're doing. Your stuff is like 2 weeks max timeframe.
Mine's 2 to 4 weeks usually. And I try to book a month ahead. And I do my best to book a month ahead. But I've also noticed if you try to book like 6 months ahead, it's
their schedule
expensive.
May not be out, though.
Some schedule may not be out. And if you book really far in advance, what really sucks is that the flight will change. The time will change, like the departure time.
The plane will change.
There's all sorts of things that change that I notice that change. And then I get these emails that say, your flight has changed.
Mm.
Cancellations also happen that way. So I don't like booking that far in advance personally. But
yeah, for me, the type of plane that I'm flying changes a lot too. Like if I'm flying like an A320, I'm not happy with that. I always feel cramped in economy.
Oh, you need an A321.
Neo. I like the Neos. I really like them. That makes a huge difference to me too.
I don't think anybody knows the difference.
I feel a difference.
Yeah, it's because you're a pilot. Maybe, you know, but I can't tell the difference most of the time. I know I'm on a 737. I don't know if I'm on a 777 or if I'm a 787.
Oh, 777 is my favorite plane, so I always know.
I mean,
I look out for those.
Do you know the difference between that and a Dreamliner?
No.
No, exactly. So you wouldn't know the difference in which one you were on.
Okay.
Precisely.
Well, I know the Neos because they look like they have sunglasses. They have like the dark tint on the windows in the very front. So I always know. But then the seats are always more comfortable because they're newer. It's a whole thing.
You're just a...
I fly an economy. I can tell the difference between like 14 inches of space and...
Plane geek, of course.
Okay, I think so. I think a lot of our listeners are too.
A plane geek.
I think people are going to agree. Yeah, I caught that. I'm not giving you the attention for it.
Also, if you book closer to departure, prices are usually going to increase, especially if you're last minute. You got to pay that premium. Now, I've also noticed if you try to book a flight like an hour before because your flight got canceled, sometimes you can get a decent deal because they're just trying to fill the seats. Now, there's a flip side of that. If there are no seats available or they're oversold on that flight, then you might as well just go fly standby.
Yeah, it's just a total coin toss if it's going to be cheaper or more expensive.
Yeah, and there's some last-minute deals you can do, too. If a flight is undersold, they may drop. That's kind of what I was referring to. Drop the price at the last moment to fill the seats. And sometimes that happens like within a week of the flight.
Well, I got a question. Do you book directly through the airline or through a third party?
I book through third party because I've noticed the pricing isn't that different. Because if I book, like, for example, I like to maximize my rewards. So I'll use a certain type of credit card. I'll book that with Expedia. Expedia gives me a percentage back because I've got their status with Expedia. And then I will put my number in for whatever my miles are or whatever with it.
Oh, so you get triple credit.
Yeah, I get credit card, I get Expedia, and I get airline credit all with one buy. And if it is an increase, it's only like a 2% increase or something over somewhere else.
Which you get back in the points anyway.
Which I get way back in the points. I get like 1% back on Expedia, and I'll get another whatever in the points.
See, my thing is I've been like screwed by the cancellation happening, and then I have to cancel through Expedia, who then cancels through the airline, instead of me just canceling directly through the airline and working with them to, you know, remove something.
Oh, that is a pain in the butt.
So that's why I prefer to go straight through the airline or through the hotel or like whatever I'm actually going for instead of using a third party, because then I can just talk to them directly and move things around.
I fly a lot and I go to a lot of hotels. It doesn't affect me that much. The one or two times a year that it happens, it's really a pain. And it stresses me out. And I'm like, I'm never doing this again. And then I'm just like, well, all the benefits for the entire year outweigh this.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, Carson,
we're going to leave people hanging.
We're going to leave people hanging. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. We're talking about seasonality, influencer competition. We've got a ton of things coming on the board right now, especially revenue management systems, premium economy, like how they actually make a little bit of money. And then we'll go through ancillary revenues, things like that. So there is a whole bunch of things we're going to talk about soon.
I think this stuff's really interesting. I love hearing about it.
I do too. Hopefully everybody else agrees with you.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's just the business side of the things that we do, like flying. It's interesting how the economics work behind everything.
Absolutely. I agree. So with that being said, we will see you on part 2, number dose. See you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening.
See ya.